Good morning. Welcome to Harpist Now, a Blog Talk radio series sponsored by the Respite, a Center for Grief and Hope. I'm your host, Mandy Epley, and I am here with my colleague and dear soul sister and producer of Hope Is Now, Cindy Bolero. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning.
And one of our super, super huge, exciting news that we have is our guest with us today is Dr. Linda Bender. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I have butterflies in my stomach. I'm so excited that you are on Hope Is Now with us today, and that I'm going to get to ask you all of these incredible questions that are going to touch so many of our listening friends and move them around their own stories and their own callings. So thank you for giving us your time today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
So I want to share with you, friends, what we're going to be doing today. As you, some of you who know, have been joining us, we are using this radio blogcast, Hope Is Now, to inspire you, to encourage you, to give you ideas and practical tools to help you on your journey, to help you on your journey around your own grief story, and also to help you around mining the joy in your life. Basically, what this show is about is putting flesh on the bones of the model of heart-centered grief that I had the honor and privilege to co-create with our dear friend and colleague, Chris Saadi. Chris has a new book out, by the way, friends, that is incredible, Prayers for Peace and Justice. And I really encourage you to track it down. It's beautiful prayers that are applicable for all spiritual traditions. So we have been doing a series of interviewing leaders from all over who have different lines of work, different callings, different traditions, and what has led them passionately into their work, what has brought them into their service. And what is it that they're doing in the world that is touching their hearts and touching others and touching the planet? So before we begin to learn about Linda and her story, I want to ask Cindy to introduce Linda so you all can get to know her and what her work is about.
Well, great. Well, I had the honor of meeting Linda in person last summer, which was so wonderful, and I'm just thrilled that she's with us today. So Linda's love for the natural world began actually in her childhood backyard, and her innate rapport with animals inspired her then to earn a doctorate in veterinarian medicine. She spent 14 years living in England, Asia, Africa, and the Middle East, and her veterinary work included the rescue and rehabilitation and protection of wildlife, often in very remote areas that I hope we'll hear about today. Working in zoos in Southeast Asia, she treated animals rescued from the wildlife trafficking trade and helped reintroduce them back into their natural habitat. And really, in Sound Wild, she helped to develop treatment protocols. Both in Asia and Africa, she worked with local communities promoting anti-poaching initiatives and educational programs, and sharing stories of her deep connection to animals helped school children understand, respect, and protect both wildlife and domestic animals. Her interest in the healing arts led her to open the Mind the Gap Wellness Center in Cincinnati, and she also started one of the first pet therapy programs through the Ohio Mental Health Association. She's also the co-founder of the nonprofit From the Heart, whose proceeds are funneled to various animal charities that directly benefit animals and their habitats. And then she also has a book out that is called Animal Wisdom, Learning from the Spiritual Lives of Animals. And I actually bought a copy of that book last year, and I know firsthand how powerful it is. So we welcome Linda to the program today.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome, Linda. Cindy, thank you. I also had the honor of meeting you last August when you came to Charlotte and purchased your book for my daughter, Tess, and you wrote the loveliest words inscription to her as a young 9-year-old child that is passionate about animal kingdom. And you said, "Dear Tess, thank you for being a light in the world for animals." And what an incredible encouragement that was to her around her young spirit and that burgeoning passion for animals. And that's really what you're doing in the world. I see you stoking the fires of individuals' passions and love for animals out of your great passion for animals and how important animals are for human beings and for our planet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the full title of Linda's book, friends, is Animal Wisdom, Learning from the Spiritual Lives of Animals. I mean, just the title alone moved me and fascinated me. So today we're going to be speaking about your work in the context of service, step 6 of the model of heart-centered grief. And what I say to my clients in my psychotherapy practice over and over again is that there's not any secret psychological tool or new age mumbo-jumbo. There's nothing that is going to help you along your journey as much as giving back, as much as service.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That is going to infuse you with encouragement and courage and energy unlike anything else. So for us to get to know you, and our listeners to get to know you this morning, I wanted to ask if you would share with us one of the great losses in your own life, one of the great heartbreaks, and how that catapulted you into your calling.
Well, that's just the perfect question. And as you were saying that, I felt as though I was having a life review on some level because, you know, I came into this world as an empath and a healer, really, and I learned that such a young age. You know, helping animals out in my parents' backyard. I grew up in New Jersey in a wonderful community. There was a woods and fields behind where we lived. And so, you know, things always, I must have been resonating out because things were always finding their way to my doorstep. So it was really, really a part of my life. But I actually opened the book with a story of bringing a tiny little rabbit out into the house that was screaming. We found it at 2 a.m. and the bunny had obviously had some sort of near-death experience with a larger animal, but I brought that bunny inside and said, "I'm going to hold this little critter all night," you know, because she was trembling in fear. And as I was holding that bunny inside and she could feel my heartbeat and my breathing, I realized that I came into the world and healing was what I came in for and who I am. And so I spent most of my life healing animals, sometimes successfully and so many times not successfully. And that's where much of the heartbreak came in. And one of the stories that just so changed my life was when I was working in Southeast Asia. And, you know, sometimes it was lights of hell because I was in the trenches. You know, I was actually where all this stuff happens. And I adore birds. I love wildlife. And I gained such a passion for conservation while I was working there. But on one occasion, I was on call to rescue any time. So I was called to meet a van that was bringing a group of macaws that were attempted smuggled in an airport. Oh. They used to stuff these birds in suitcases, do all sorts of things to smuggle them out of the country to then, you know, sell them abroad. So They said, meet me at the clinic. So I raced over to the clinic. My mind was going, you know, what do I need? What do I have? Do I have syringe? You know, it was more like a MASH unit than you know, a hospital. But at any rate, I arrived there and, you know, thinking triage, and I walked in the door, and it was cold stone silence. And with that, I walked out to the back of the clinic, and there on the ground, lined up like soldiers, were 12 dead hyacinth macaws. The most beautiful birds. They're just take your breath away gorgeous, and there they were, you know, senselessly murdered for, you know, in the name of money, power, and greed. And I broke down. And at that moment, and I was in my maybe mid-20s, you know, aspiring to heal everything, I really broke down, and I didn't want to get up. And I said, you know, I can't live in this world. There's just too much pain. I can't save anything. I'm useless. Why do I even bother? And I truly broke down for a long time. And, you know, there was no instant recovery. But what happened in that moment, and I think it happens to all of us when we go deep into our own pain, is that it came full circle that what I really believed and what we seem to get as a message, a diluted message in our society, is that what we love and what we treasure and what we hold most big in our hearts is some kind of a weakness. Yeah. And that's the moment I faced it. And I said, this is not a strength, it's a weakness. So I had to go through this immense healing and immense grief just to come full circle to realize that, no, in fact, this blessing that I came into the world with is not a weakness. It is my greatest strength if I work through it.
Yes, yes.
And I did.
You did, and then you found your courage and you found your strength and you clarified your calling and you went on and you have saved. You've lost and you've saved many, many, many. You didn't give up. And that is a powerfully, a powerfully beautiful story. I am so deeply moved by so much of what you've shared. And what really pulled on me is when you said, you know, you sank into your pain. And and that is the message overall of all of the great spiritual and religious and philosophical traditions. And one of the core messages of our work, Cindy and mine and our partner Elizabeth of the Respite and the model of heart-centered grief, that is about, you know, finding, you know, the courage to sink into our pain. And there are times, like you experienced, looking at these incredible creatures of glory that had died, lined up one by one by one, that had been murdered, that there are times in our lives that drop us to our knees, and that those are the moments that we have a choice. As you said, it took a long time. You know, it took a long time. It was a journey that we have a real opportunity to meet our own spirits and to hear where our spirit is guiding us. And that's what I see in the depth of your work. I mean, that's why I was so excited and eager and hoping that we could share your work with our community through Blog Talk Radio, is that for people to hear the depth and the wisdom of your work, this wasn't because it was a good idea or because, though it is a good idea what you're doing, or because you had a fancy, you know, or you just happened to, you know, like pretty animals. It was because there was a deep, deep call inside of you through joy and passion, paradoxically, also through the heartbreak. And that's the wisdom that we want to share with sacred activists all over the world. And for individuals who are in their loss right now, who will tune into our show and who are feeling lost and thinking, how in the world has, my husband leaving me, or my loss of my job, or what does that have anything to do with me doing anything to help anyone in the world?
And moving into that pain is huge. It's the bravest thing we do. You know,
with
saying, okay, I'm going to jump off the cliff. I don't know where I'm going to land, but I have, I have the courage to take one step. And, you know, in the problem in our culture is that we want to solve all of our problems and heal ourselves by shopping. Remember back to 9/11. What were we to do after 9/11? We were told not to go deeply into our hearts and grieve and go through a healing process. We were told to go out and shop. So in our culture, we have been deluded into thinking we're going to put a Band-Aid over things that are actually the doorway to our freedom, to our greatest joy, and, ending up with lives of meaning and purpose, lives of meaning and purpose. I mean, that is why we are here. We are here to live lives of meaning and purpose. You know, Martin Luther King Jr. once said, life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others?
Yeah.
And life is a journey along that path. Matthew Fox, who is a wonderful man, he endorsed my book, and he's just such a delightful human being. He said to me, and we were, he said, no one ever said, blessed are the comfortable. And we've been deluded in our society to think about feeling good. We're not here to feel good. I mean, we do feel good. Don't get me wrong.
There's so much joy.
There's so much joy. And I tell people this in some of my workshops. I say, when you are actually in there doing the work that you love, not consumed by the outcomes, but just doing the work, you lose sense of time, you lose sense of yourself, and the joy is so great. There is no drug out there that can compare to the joy of giving service to what's in your heart. And that is what keeps us strong when we're walking the path of being a, what do you want to call it? In South Africa, one of the Zulu teachers said, to be a warrior of the heart, to be a warrior of the heart. And the warrior of the heart never deviates. We just keep going on and on and on. You don't ask why you're doing it. You're doing it because it's the work of the light.
And it keeps you strong. It's your call. It's your call. And I love what you said about not being attached to the outcome. It's about following our own individual calling and joining in community with others to keep us strengthened and encouraged and supported, and that letting go of the outcome. I know that we certainly are experiencing that a lot in our work together here in Charlotte, that we are serving empowering individuals who are grieving different losses, and our real mission is to support people through that doorway, because we know the great secret that's not a secret and that is that when something devastating, painful, deeply disappointing has happened in our lives, we have just been shown a doorway. And our work is about, is like your work, it's helping usher individuals through that doorway into finding their service and giving back. And that thing that you said about joy so resonates for me. And I know for me, interviewing leaders around their incredible human stories I mean, I love to call this show the Get Real Sessions. You know, that this is really about, you know, saying this is what it's about. This is what our journey is for.
It's becoming the hero of our own story. Becoming the hero of our own story, and we all have a unique story. And it's powerful. And I will say that I don't teach some sort of dogma or anything like that. I only teach very humbly through my own personal stories, because I that's all I can do is teach others what I have learned through my own experiences with, you know, what life has taught me and the wisdom I have learned along the way. Mm-hmm.
Well, I would love, I want to share something just sweet with you, and then I want to ask you some more things about you so our listeners can learn about this incredible spirit of you, Dr. Linda Bender. And so I just want to share this sweet thing with you, that my maternal grandmother, her name forever will be Shirley Ethel Warner Hayes. And so she died in 2009 at the age of 96. And she adored cardinals, as many people do. And she was actually born and raised in the state of Ohio, and that's the state bird. It also happens to be the state bird of North Carolina, where we reside. So out of my dining room window, right now, there's a huge forsythia bush. And a mama cardinal has built her nest, and she has two baby birds, and I just discovered her yesterday. And I want you to know, she literally has been looking inside of my house all this time, and I didn't even know it until yesterday. And I just thought that was so magnificent and so sweet, my grandmother's connection with the cardinal. And getting ready to speak and interview you. And this cardinal, I came home last night, and I put a flashlight in to see if I could see her, and she was looking in our house. And I'm thinking, we're the ones in the cage. She's been looking inside of us at us this whole time. So I know you. Isn't that awesome? And I know
it's
that
awesome,
you have
and
millions
of stories. Welcome
like
to my
that.
World.
Yes.
It's so funny, because I hear this a lot, and some of the people I work with, they'll every now and then they'll call me hysterical laughing, and they'll say, "What have you done to me ever since you've been in my life?" And blah, blah, blah. The stories go on and on. So it's true, but you see, you're opening yourself to a presence. You're opening yourself to a presence that is always there, but you're noticing it and you're attracting it. And it's the emotional bonds that we form with each other, but with animals, and that we become metaphysically irresistible to birds, and have that when we establish that bond, when we are present to that loving bond that we create, because we're all energy and information, and that's going out into you know, the greater field, call it what you will, and it resonates. And it shows up in your window. You know, you see God staring in the window at you.
Yes. I mean, it's
through
just
the body of a cardinal.
Oh, yes. So powerful, so precious.
That's
I really
a beautiful
relate
story. Thank
so much.
You.
Yeah, I knew you would love that. So I would love for you to have a chance to speak more about your work itself, some of the aspects of your work that has deeply moved you, some of the aspects that have challenged you, you know, and what you're seeing right now in the world around the animal kingdom. I mean, any thoughts that you want to share with us? I know there will be many people.
I just heard a blip. Hello?
Oh, there you are. Go ahead.
Oh, are you? Okay, yeah,
yep,
I just heard
here.
A blip. Do you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, we're here.
Oh,
yeah.
So many stories. It's interesting that you shared the story about the cardinal, because out and about in the world, so often I'm in situations where I or other people are having that experience. And they say, well, what does this mean? What does this do? And so often we see God. We see God reflected in the faces, in the eyes, in the situations that animals are going through. And that's just... I can mention my nonprofit, From the Heart, which I co-founded with my daughter years ago. But there are three aspects to it. And one is my great passion for conservation and animals who are being poached in Africa, the large land mammals, elephants, rhinos. And one reason I say we must not get attached to outcomes is that I work very hard to help in any way I can to stop that. And part of it is, you know, boots on the ground. Part of it is education. We tend to blame others for what's going on with poaching, but the United States, we are the number two market for poached goods from overseas. So there's a lot to be done. You know, I'm putting together educational programs, and what I find is that, you know, I believe most people are good, but there's a tremendous amount of ignorance. People don't understand what's happening in the world, and there are programs, for example, in China. People are going and educating and saying, you know, it's not true that elephants shed their tusks. These animals are being pushed to the brink of extinction. You've got to understand that you don't buy ivory. So that's one thing I'm very involved with now. But right here in the U.S. as well, we have a huge overpopulation in our dogs and cats. The number one cause of death in healthy under 2-year-old dogs and cats is euthanasia. There are just so many unwanted animals. So I'm always telling people who have a passion to help, you know, dive in. We can do a better job than we're doing. And a lot of states, you know, people are working to more education toward you don't breed, you don't buy from puppy mills. Be mindful when you see abuse or cruelty, do something about it, get animals from shelters. There's so much going on, for us to dive in. And again, in our own backyards, I actually have a whole chapter in my book about in the world to help, because people are asking me this all the time. What can I do? How can I help? I'm only one person. And I say every choice you make, every decision you make every day is making a difference. Be mindful, you know, be mindful. So, you know, I'm always out there. If there's a platform, I get on it. And And, the other problem is, we're always hearing the bad stuff. And I say to people, you can be overwhelmed by, you know, tuning into everything on the internet, by watching the news. You've got to be careful, because you can slip into this idea that there's only bad stuff going on. Well, there's a tremendous amount of fabulous stuff going on. Just remember, we're not always hearing about it. And I'll give you a quick example. Right here in Charleston, where I live, where we've had this tragedy, actually President Obama is coming in as we speak to be part of the memorial service of those 9 people who were murdered. And one of them was a great minister, reverend in the community, fought hard for peace. But what the news, or maybe 2 days later, and CNN reported it, but 20,000 people gathered to walk on what we call the bridge, gathering on the bridge. It's where everything happens in Charleston. 20,000 people gathered in peace and love and harmony. And I need to remember this, you know.
Yes. That, I mean, I think these are very wise words, that it can be very overwhelming when we understand what's going on with animals overseas, what we understand, you know, what's going on with animals here in the U.S., and within the food industry, on and on. It can feel overwhelming, and I think it's incredibly wise to share with our listening friends to not give up, to not lose hope, and to
never
intentionally be careful what you feed your mind. And to be
absolutely
to look for those stories of inspiration, because they're there. They are there. There are many people. You know, in our community here, one of the women that you met, Cindy Duty, who was so excited about you coming and sharing your wisdom.
I love Cindy.
Yes, yes. I mean, this is a woman who is right here in Charlotte, you know, on the ground passionately serving animals, and her great passion and love for animals. You know, there are so many stories of open-hearted people like Cindy and like the tens of thousands of people that you've met who, you know, so remembering those stories, it's very important. And what I always encourage our listeners is when you're hearing Linda's story, apply it to your own story. You know, if your industry is banking, if your industry is manufacturing, you know, if you're a school teacher, you know, if your call is, you know, to help feed the homeless, if it's to save a particular species of plant, whatever your call is, friends, listen for the wisdom and how it applies to your own individual story. And the essence of it all is that we must never lose hope. I find it amazing that today we are speaking with you. You live in Charleston, and this memorial is happening today, honoring the loss of these 9 lives. And there's something very powerful about that to me, that you and I are coming together in dialogue with Cindy here as our support to encourage never giving up in the name of peace and justice and service of our planet and humanity. Mm-hmm. And that, friends, your lives matter.
Yes, yes, very, very much so. And again, going back to that, diving in, you know, we're down on the ground on our knees with our hearts broken. And when we work through that, when we allow ourselves to have our hearts broken open, you know, as Rumi said, it's in the ruin of heartbreak where you find the diamond of a divine passion that can resurrect the dead. And when you go there and you live through that, and you get up off your knees and you work out in the world, as you said, in whatever capacity, there is a power, that there is a resilience, there is a determination to keep stepping forward no matter what, never giving up. Mm-hmm. And I see it in my own life. I see it in the lives of others. It's just like a pit bull with its jaws locked in place. And no matter what's going on out there, you are more resilient than ever. I actually have a photograph of a baby elephant that was, its mom was poached. Richard Attenborough took the photo, and it's a horrific photo, actually, because this little orphan is about to die because mom's story. But I leave that photo on a corner of my desk, and whenever I feel weak or, oh my God, doubtful, afraid, I go to that photo and I look at the eyes of that young elephant. And instead of breaking down, my heart fills with such compassion that I realize, no, I can never give up. It's too late to turn back. I must go on no matter what.
Yes.
There is a bigger calling.
Yes, yes. So, I mean, what you're sharing is you know, an important tool that represents a very powerful higher ideal and ethical value. And that tool is, friends, you know, Linda keeps this photo, this visual symbol in her workspace. So it's so important that we look for, isn't it, the practical tools And, you know, whether that's symbols we put in our workspace, whether it's the jewelry that we wear, you know, whether it's the meditations that we do, that we daily have, you know, as our dear friend Andrew Harvey, you know, really supports all of us in as sacred, you know, sacred activists around our sacred practices, you know, our practices and our rituals that keep us encouraged and teach us about who we are to stay focused on our call. So I want to ask you, what do you see animals, you know, for people that their hearts have not yet been deeply touched by animals, what do you share with people about how animals bless human beings? Yeah, we can't hear you, Linda. We're having a technical blip. Does it look like she's still on the call? Okay. So you might want to hang up and call back in, and we're right here. These silly technical difficulties that happen, but we're right here. Please stay with us, friends. Linda will be dialing back in. These things happen in the world of technology, don't they? What an amazing story that Linda has and her incredible passion around staying on the path and how important it is when she was sharing about that photo of the baby elephant whose mother had been poached, that, you know, she keeps that in front of her to inspire her to give, to never give up. And as she said, it's too late now. I can't give up. I've got to stay on the path. I've got to stay in direction. So, Cindy, how are we doing? I'm going to keep going. Okay. Well, I want to read something from Linda's book that has moved me so deeply, and it's about when we have an animal, when an individual has lost their pet, you know, basically to honor all of you out there that love and adore the animals in your lives, and how much, I mean, I have met client after client through the years who their animal is their family member, is their child, is their deep friend. And so she shares in her book, Animal Wisdom, the depth of loss people feel when a companion animal dies is hard for those who don't live with animals to fathom. Compared to the loss of a spouse or a parent or a child, the death of a dog or cat may seem trivial, but many people mourn long and hard when it happens. The grief is especially poignant because the loss is so pure. The love between human and animal, so simple and unambivalent. People will say of their departed animal, I have lost my best friend, or I have lost the one who loved me most in this world. When we love an animal, we do so with the innocence of a child. And when we lose that animal, we grieve like a child. I thought those words were so powerful.
Hello.
Hey, you back with us. Hey there. Thank you.
Everything suddenly went dead, and then I couldn't get back through. I have no idea what happened.
Silly technology. Thank you. Thank you for coming back with us. I just shared with our listeners a quote from your book about when an animal dies, how that loss, people grieve long and hard. And how that loss is, the relationship between human and animal, you say, is so pure and unambivalent. So will you share with us how animals bless humans, how you would encourage people to see that?
Well, if we have 3 weeks,
I know, I ask big questions. I know I do.
It's a big question. It's an important question because, well, I get asked this question all the time. But, you know, animals, so wonderful about our animals is particularly our companion animals, our dogs and our cats. You know, they have come from being out in the backyard chained to a doghouse to not only living inside our homes, but, you know, sleeping in our beds and being considered, you know, members of our family, and we give them names that we would give our children. So they're beloved family members. And what these animals do for us is they act almost like a bridge. And it's that bridge takes us from who we are to a step farther to who we can become and who we are evolving into. You know, we're really evolving into more intuitive spiritual beings, less physical, mental. Yes, of course we're physical, mental, but we're moving beyond the realm of the material. And animals help us bridge that space. Mm-hmm. They are just, as I say somewhere in the book, I mean, you know, they are the bodhisattvas of love. They remind us that we are wonderful just as we are. You know, we are often so critical of ourselves. This is wrong. That's wrong. I'm not good enough. All these records that we have stuffed in our heads that we're not enough. And it pushes us every day. Animals are wonderful we are. And they love who they are. So it's that, you know, reaffirming that we're all here in the greater plan as beings that are interrelated, and we're meant to share. You know, the relationship between humans and animals has gone on since, you know, as long as the history of man has gone on. So I believe we're hardwired to be in relationship with other non-human beings. And so we resonate with that. We're lonely in this society.
Yes. Oh, yes. I mean, I was saying that I've seen client after client through the years that their beloved cat, beloved dog has truly been a family member, as you were saying, and a child. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've had so many people say to me through the years that, you know, this particular being, this dog gave me unconditional love. It was the one place that I always had that unconditional love, and how truly life changing that experience can be. I remember I was working with this woman many years ago who was going through a time where it was very frightening for me as her therapist. I mean, she was really on the edge of suicide. I mean, she was in complete despair, had lost hope. And I think the one thing that kept her alive to get through that period was she would go home at night and her cat would come and lay on her.
Mm.
And the healing energy that her cat brought to her, and this was pretty early on in my practice, and I remember just being, you know, crossing my fingers day after day that cat would show up, and, you know, and that cat did. The cat would come and lay on her, and it got her through such a dark time. And I'm convinced that it's that cat's love that kept her here.
Yes, I completely 125% agree. And I see this. I see this, you know, time and time and time again. And actually, you know, cosmic choreography, you know, central casting is amazing, because it's amazing that we're having this conversation today, because I just finished a 3-day workshop in Kripalu, a beautiful, beautiful place in Massachusetts, in the mountains, in the Berkshires. Mm-hmm. And it was a workshop on what, you know, animal wisdom, what animals teach us. Well, it was one of the most amazing and deep, deep workshops I've ever done, because many of the people in the group were grieving the recent loss of their beloved dogs. And so the workshop took on this grief / healing aspect to it. Mm-hmm. And we went deeply, deeply into these, you know, many of the things we're speaking about here today. And I said, you know, the death
of an animal. They were asking me, why is it so profound? Why is it so deep? And it's because exactly what you're saying, how much love and compassion our animals give us in our lives. And when they leave, we're devastated. You know, we're beyond devastated. And what do we do with it? Well, inspired by that, it was last weekend, I've just put together another workshop. It is specifically about healing the grief of losing our dogs and cats in our lives. I got a phone call from my publisher. So if anybody out there listening wants to very quickly jot that down, it's a free webinar, actually, I'm doing to promote it. The free webinar, September 3rd through North Atlantic Books. And I will be diving into how we heal from the grief of losing a beloved pet. So,
Well, thank you for sharing that with our listeners. It's perfect timing. And I have many individuals that are going to be very interested in this. So, friends, we will post on the Respite Facebook page and a link on our website, the Hope Is Now page, to be able to find Linda, and just now I'll say it's lindabender.org where you can find out about Linda and about her work.
Right, because I will be doing those. It's been such in the forefront of my work that I am going to be, I have the webinar for sure, but I'm also going to be doing some workshops on it. And, eventually all that stuff works its way to my website. There's a calendar of events there. So, It's important work because we all are healing in some capacity from a loss.
Yes, we are. And what I appreciate so much about your work is, as we've been speaking about today, and what my great passion is to keep our hearts open, the 7 steps of grief and hope that Chris Soddy and I put together in the model of heart-centered grief is all about honoring our journey of loss, bringing great dignity to this, doorway that has come before us, and we give practical tools of, what can we then do to support ourselves when we're grieving. And this relationship with our beloved pets who are family members and what you're bringing is such a needed service. I'm so happy that the timing of this is flowing the way that it is and that you're going to be bringing that to support to so many people. And on that note, we have a caller who's called in, and her name is Holly. Welcome, Holly.
Thank you. I just wanted to thank Dr. Bender for her book and for all her work that she's done and advocating for animals. And I just lost, I read your book, Dr. Bender, it was just before I lost my 2 beloved dogs, very close to each other, one unexpectedly and one more expectedly. And to me, the healing process, I'm so looking forward to, believe it or not, looking forward to being able to make something from their passing in a way that I can advocate for animals. And I've worked with individuals. I'm a counselor also, and I've also found your book so helpful in helping them to move through their grief and in all kinds of ways in their life. And then and they're actually now moving into doing some wonderful things for animals. And I'm very grateful to you.
Thank you.
That's so wonderful.
So I just wanted to thank you.
Well, thank you for spreading the good work. And there's so much good that comes. Sometimes we think, oh, my God, we can't take it. We're overwhelmed. But in actual fact, we're given what we're given to work with. And,
you know, so many people are doing what you're doing, you know, coming full circle and saying, how can I serve? You know, how can this motivate me and inspire me to do the good works in memory of those that, that I love and were so such a part of my life? You know, it's truly what life is all about. It truly is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. Yeah, it really is. And thank you so much.
Thank you
for calling in, and thank you for staying on the path and really bringing your passion through the loss of your beloved two dogs. What a painful experience. And what we're speaking about is how that then transforms us if we allow it in our lives and then use the treasure and the wisdom that we've discovered to then give back. And in the few minutes we have left, Linda, I wanted to ask you a very personal question, and that is, what continues to give you hope? What infuses your heart that helps you? I'm sure there are many things, but what's one thing that really helps keep you going?
Well, my personal practice, again, tools. We all need tools
to
carry us through. You know, we need grace. We need resilience to live our lives in the world we're in today. So I have very deeply committed myself to a daily practice of prayer and meditation. We sometimes run away from the word prayer, but deep prayer means I'm showing up. Show me the way. And when we do that from the depths of our heart and our soul, we actually do get reassurance. We get messages. We get situations. If we're brave enough to listen, you know, most of us know. If we throw a coin up in the air, most of us really know which side we want to land. Facing up.
But that's the truth.
It's focusing on it and owning it. And so the other thing that keeps me going is remembering, and we're such a short time, but I can sum it up in the words of St. Francis. St. Francis keeps me going. His life was an example for me. But St. Francis once said, you know, we need to look at the bigger picture. Why are we here? And we leave so quickly. Our lives are so fleeting. And what keeps me going is remembering something that he said. And it's remember that when we leave this earth, when you leave this earth, you can take with you nothing that you've received. The only thing you can take is what you have given. And that is a heart that's been enriched by honest service, love, sacrifice, and courage. And when I read those words, I'm inspired, and I keep going.
Oh, wow. Well, I want to say to our friends that when you feel lost, discouraged, when it feels, you know, cloudy and it's hard to find your way, pick up resources like Dr. Linda Bender's book, Animal Wisdom, Learning from the Spiritual Lives of Animals. As you've experienced with me today, this is a woman who is deeply committed to humanity, to the animal kingdom, who's committed to love and committed to service, and does it with such a brilliance and also a beautiful humility. It's so approachable. And this, friends, I want to encourage you to seek out that support for yourself, to gather the treasures and to help you mine what are the gems that life has deposited inside of my own chest and my own being through my loss. Because that's what this work for me is about. It's about turning it upside down and inside out. That, you know, the world wants me to feel shame when I'm hurting so deeply. You know, it's like, are you done yet? Are you done yet? Why aren't you done yet? You know, and that's not reality. Reality is that, you know, I was sitting with a young widow yesterday her husband suddenly died 18 months ago, shockingly, across the globe.
Oh.
A very sad, tragic story. And, you know, she said, I don't think my family members understand that I've barely just begun, you know, because,
yes.
you know, their feedback to her is, well, it's time to move on, honey.
Oh,
you know, and
no,
that's
no,
not
no.
reality of life, is it? And it's not the reality of
no.
our very human journey, that there are losses and heartache and heartbreak that they evolve, they take different form and shape, and they stay with
mm-hmm.
us our whole lives, and they inform
mm-hmm.
us. And what's important
totally.
Is that we are constantly reaching for the other side, as you said, also the joy. So what your work is about, Linda, that I respect so much, I respect you, I'm deeply honored. I mean, today I'm going to be on Cloud 50 Million all day today. I am so honored that you opened up so beautifully and just, you know, when you have those moments in your career, you're like,
oh,
yeah, this is one of those moments. That's one of those moments speaking with you today, really. And so, friends, what are... Yes, it's also true. And for us, it's, you know, this work is about ennoble your story, ennoble your grief, hold your head high with
yes.
great dignity,
yes.
and
yes.
go for joy. It's those two
yes.
sides. Go for what
yes.
lights up your heart and what breaks your heart, as
right.
our dear
and
friend
honor
Andrew
your grief.
Said. Yes,
and honor your
yes.
grief. And I tell people all the time, I say, listen, listen, I'm on my knees all the time. You know.
Yes. Yes.
It's not that we suddenly, you know, have all the answers and have everything healed. It's a process.
Right.
But we have to
yes.
honor that process.
Yes. Well, I would love to bless you with the last couple of minutes, Linda, and say, you know, may you feel surrounded in encouragement and hope. May your heart be infused with strength to stay steadfast on your own path. And as you're feeling that energy in Charleston today, you know, may, and as you're feeling deep grief with what's been, you know, what this murder that happened and what's going on in the city and in our country, may you feel just held by the love of the divine. Thank you for how much you're encouraging all of us. And for your beautiful spirit and your just your open heart. Thank you for bringing all of that to us today.
Thank you. And I want to say thank you to you and the work you're doing. And I want to say thank you to everyone who took time to listen in and learn. And because we're all so powerful. So I ask everyone,
yeah.
you do something good, listen to the voice in your heart, and don't be afraid to make a lot of noise with that voice.
Oh, I love it. Have a blessed afternoon. Enjoy that
thank
town
you.
As well. And I
thank
want
you
all, if you want, yes, if you want to learn more about Linda, please go to lindabender.org. And to learn more about the model of heart-centered grief and my work and what we're doing in the world, check us out at therespite.org. Have a good weekend. Take good care. God bless everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.